A long time ago, on a mountain high, the Lord God did decree. 31 weeks shall be soaked in blood, honoring rugby league. Honoring the big hits, honoring the line breaks, honoring the stamina, honoring the speed, honoring the dog shots, honoring the falcons, honoring the elbows, honoring the knees, honoring the piss-ups, the blow-ups, the bubblers, the pumpers, the joeys, the lockies, the pick-em-up and dumpers, the heroes, the villains. The game ain't no riddle when that golden point field goal goes straight down the middle. The greatest minds, intelligence untethered, passion unbind, Matrix and Kondo to the game ever true, direct from the Ball and Orr podcast.
Okay, the Ball and All NRL podcast. We are back. It is Captain's Run. Apologies to all our avid listeners, including Jimmy Woods. We weren't here on Monday because we were all jammed. We all had to do a bit of work. So apologies for that. But we're back. We've got a big week, and we've had a week break of the hiatus, Mr. Matrix and Woody. Welcome. But we're back with a big jackpot this week.
What's the jackpot, Sebo?
Well, we'll get to that, but I don't know. What do you tell me? What do you reckon the jackpot should be?
I reckon the winner of this round has to have my two children, Maya and Rex Wood, for 6 weeks. Full care.
Okay.
That's the jackpot.
So what, they get all the prizes, plus they take your two kids for 6 weeks?
Yeah, and you can't call us at all.
Righto, I don't mind that. What do you think, Matrix? Where's your hat? Where's your hat with the little M?
There'll be no entries in the tipping comp this week.
I reckon even the leaders will
take a bye.
Yeah. Okay, well let's do a bit of a recap on where we are in the tipping comp because it's quite interesting. Let's go to the top. Okay, on 40 points we have Jemsy's Tips.
No way.
Woody, Jemsy's Tips is on top on 40, and she's leading by one over her brother, Jakey Baker, 39.
Are you kidding?
No, she's putting them in. She's putting them in. There's lots of arguments, but I'm hearing a lot of, Thursday afternoons, Thursday before the Thursday night game, there's lots of arguments. And, we can say it here. We can say it here, right here. She's tipping way better than her boyfriend and her brother. So there you go. She's on 40. I'm coming 116.
Jemsy's Tip sent me a message last Monday saying she's even shitting all over her father-in-law. So there you go.
Oh well, that is correct. Yeah. Anyway, I'm coming 116.
So the ups.
She's got to get one.
The
up
upset's
on me,
not
so.
Working for you.
Righto. Well, let's get. Sorry. No, I might change tack this week. Okay, so firstly, before we get into this week's round, are you with us, Woody?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no. Loud and clear, all right.
I'm just driving in the dark. I'm just waiting to hear one of your cool stories. I'm waiting for it. Let's go.
Okay, righto. Okay, so we've had a week hiatus from the jackpot, but we're coming back bigger than Ben-Hur. So the jackpot this week, let's just name the games, Jared, that you got to pick firstly, and we'll repeat it at the end of the podcast.
It should be a walk in a park, Steve. We probably should have them queuing up for this. So Thursday night, Roosters Storm. There's only 1 point between them on the markets. That should be straightforward. So you got to pick the winner and you got to pick the margin. Then let's go to Sunday afternoon. We've got the Bulldogs at Homebush taking on the Knights. And we'll finish Sunday afternoon with the Sharks taking on the Cowboys.
So the two Sunday games. Two o'clock and four o'clock.
Two Sunday games. So you've got to start and finish well. Roosters, Storm, Bulldogs, Knights, Sharks, Cowboys, the three winners plus the margin for Thursday night.
Woody, don't run off the road when you hear the jackpot. Okay, the jackpot this week is, firstly, you got to take Woody's kids, Rex and Maya. Okay, for 6 weeks, 6 weeks, and you're not allowed to call a friend or a parent. Okay, you get a carton of Yulee's. You get Simo from Yulee's, great supporters. They dropped in a few cartons today, so that was very kind of them. We have another McGrath's golf pack back with the little Esky. You get a $100 voucher to Club Lennox, and you get a $50 voucher to Lennox Pizza Pasta.
Far out!
So that's the jackpot, plus Woody's kids.
Plus my two children, and they get to wake you up at, like, sort of 4:45 to 5:15 every morning, which is
can we actually negotiate that? Like, if I win it, I'm happy to take one. I don't reckon I can handle two.
Yeah, you can have Maya, that's fine.
Yeah, that wasn't my choice.
You know what's going to happen. Whoever wins the jackpot's going to donate it on.
Let's hope Beric wins it again. He can have the kids for 6 weeks. Oh, Woody, that would be good. Beric wins the kids for 6 weeks. Okay, let's get into Thursday night. Roosters aren't favourites here, Jared. We've got the Storm away to the Roosters, and the Roosters are favourites. The Storm are favourites, paying $1.85. We've got Big Nelson back. It's his first start for the year.
Yeah, Big Nelson's finally passed the beep test and gets a gig. Bit of match fitness, playing for the North Sydney Bears, now gets into first grade. The market flipped here. The week started with the Roosters at -1.5 faves. They're now +1.5 faves. So interesting move here. A couple of key things here. I didn't like some of the form around what I've seen with the Storm the last couple of weeks. They've got four wins. All four wins have been at home. The last three are by 2 points, 2 points, and 4 points. Mm. I'm just not convinced how strong that form is at the moment. And coming to a really good game here, but they do have an excellent record against the Roosters. Long-term winning, I think, 8 of the last 9 times they've played. Roosters, though, off 2 back-to-back away games, get back home. Their record at Moore Park's outstanding. They get Tedesco in. Some of the form out of that game, I thought, last week of some of their individual players is very good. Great way to start the round. I've just got a really small lean to the Roosters.
What's the form guide on Nelson, Jared? How's he been?
Listen, I think he's been okay. I mean, he nearly got himself in some trouble first game. I think he got on report but didn't get charged. But it says he's going to start the way that it's named. I'd be very interesting to see how long he lasts.
Yeah, okay. Have we got any, Woody, we got any players in this one for Blues Watch? I mean, obviously Teddy's playing good.
Well, we have to.
Teddy's playing.
Is Teddy playing?
Yeah, Teddy's back. Ryan Pappenhausen's back. Oh, sorry, he's still there.
I was thinking Pappy would be in the mix. Obviously, maybe like a couple of the front rowers. You reckon like is Crichton for the Roosters?
This is Crichton's second or third week starting in the back row. Victor Radley, yeah,
Crichton,
maybe.
Crichton's form's been very good the last couple of weeks.
I thought Victor Radley committed to.
Yeah, Radley's now Pom, so.
Is Victor Adley committed to England? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's no good.
Yeah. What about Joseph Suwali? Is Suwali in the mix?
New South Wales. No, I think Maguire's got him on a watch for sure.
Well, I think Michael Maguire's run.
I reckon Pappy's a big one. For the wing, maybe, fullback.
Maybe that 14 spot off the bench.
Warbrick's a Kiwi, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Warbrick, far out. He only let 4 tries go down the right side.
I was about to say, he's lucky to be playing. He's actually playing this week.
He's lucky to be playing first grade.
Yeah.
Right, so do we all
agree? What about Dom Young the other week?
He's a pony.
8 knock-ons, run out. I know. I just thought I'd give you those stats.
Yeah, but he's not playing anyway. He's suspended. He had that brain explosion. Righto, so we move on to the second game Friday night. Jared, we have the Warriors who've just announced the signing of Fisher Harris. Did you hear that, Woody? Fisher Harris is going to the Warriors next year and he's signed for 4 years. What a get.
Huge. Exactly.
I don't know, Jared. Well, what do you reckon?
Fisher Harris had 2 years to run at the Panthers. So all the scuttlebutt appears to be that his first 2 years at the Warriors are on exactly the same as what he was on at the Panthers. The Panthers have also not asked for any compensation. I mean, the guy's a Golden Boot winner. I mean, he's currently rated the best player in the world. Outstanding get. His grandfather recently died. You know, he's asked to return for compassionate reasons. And it's been handled incredibly professionally. But, fantastic get for them.
Just shows the quality of both organisations, doesn't it? The Warriors are really... They're really starting to put together an extremely good shot.
I also think it shows
This year it's a good squad, but have a look at who they're.
Well, it also shows the quality of respect between Cleary and Webster.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they're on the same page. There's no white-anding. You know, this story wasn't leaked anywhere. It came out this afternoon. Nobody knew about it. All done in a matter of days. You know, very professionally handled. And I thought. You know, Cleary's comments in his press release this afternoon was just outstanding. The way that he spoke about, Fisher Harris and the contribution he made. Yeah, he actually first played, I think, SG ball when he first went there. You know, so he's come through their system in all grades. Captain, outstanding leader, fantastic footballer, and they say just a wonderful human.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic by the Panthers how they've handled it. No doubt he's been he's been an incredible servant to the Panthers in that run of four straight grand finals with three grand final wins. As you said, a Golden Boot winner. I mean, that doesn't happen very regularly for front rowers. And he's been outstanding, Jared, and he's been extremely scary.
Yeah, he has. I mean, some of his form in the last 2 years has just been, just magnificent, the way he's led through the middle. One of the toughest roles, as we know, in the game. And... it punches a big hole in the Panthers, though, doesn't it? You know, going into next year, they lose Lenu this year, who's gone to Roosters. Now Fisher Harris, that wouldn't have been in their planning. They've got an amazing resilience and a great system, and how they either have got kids coming through or they identify who they might go and target. So first-class operation.
I dare say he might be one of their biggest losses, Jared, in the last 4 or 5 years. They've lost some good ones, but he's top shelf, top shelf. They're hard to come by. Really good quality front rowers, as we know. Anyway, the Warriors, which is where Fisher Harris is going next year, they are the early game on Friday night. They are taking on the Red V St. George Illawarra. It's the Dragons' home game down at Wollongong, where they have a good record, but I'm not sure. They're going to have enough to outpace the Warriors.
Did the Dragons win last week?
They did. They did.
I think I tipped the upset.
I know you picked them.
Listen, I thought they were good and clearly back on a dry track. But, away ground, they now get back home where their record at the Gong, clearly their last start here, they picked off the high-flying Eagles now. Looks a little bit of a gap between them. But the worry about the Warriors now is they come off that big game at home last week where they squeaked home late. They end up with a draw, went to Golden Point, still finished up a draw. They've actually got five outs, four of which are good quality forwards, and I think it just brings them back a level a little bit. Very poor first half, which their coach acknowledged. On the road again. Their record in Sydney is not great, but they did beat the Rabbits 2 starts ago at Homebush. I guess that's not really a great strong form line. I think there's a gap between them, but I'm about similar to the market. I didn't think it was much more than 6 points. And the Dragons' record when getting four or more at home is outstanding at Wollongong. So I thought the game was close. I thought the Warriors...
No. Oh, no. You're not tipping.
I'm tipping the Warriors.
Okay, so the Dragons get 6.5 start. Is that
enough?
Yeah,
I think that makes the game tight. Yeah.
do you? Okay.
Yeah, and the Dragons have covered 12 of the last 16 times at Wynn Stadium that they've had four or more.
Mm.
That game will be close.
Can you just repeat that stat again?
They've covered the line 12 of the last 16 times they've been in Wollongong when they've had four points or more. Well, they've got 6.5 here.
Yeah.
And that record narrows down to 7 of the last 8.
Jared, I think Woody's run off the road. Where did he go? We've lost him.
Yeah, as soon as we started talking about Queensland, I think he got upset.
He got the wobbles. Okay, so second game Friday night is the Parramatta Eels, who have announced this week that they've signed Zach Lomax on a 4-year deal. They still have a few out, especially their halfback. They're sort of trying to piece together okay performances, but they're really struggling with his organisational ability and his kicking game. They take on the Dolphins, 8 o'clock on Friday night, and this is actually up in Darwin. Parramatta short price favourites, paying $1.39. Dolphins out as far as $3 at the moment. I mean, do you see that bigger spread in this one?
Well, Steve, for people like you who like to organise their weekend and plan at what stage over the weekend they're going to reorganise their sock drawer, I reckon this is the right time to head to the bedroom and not the television.
This game?
Yeah, it's just got no appeal for me. I thought, you know, I tipped the Eels last week in the upset. They ended up winning 27-20 at home. I thought it was a horrible game. I thought the quality of the form was terrible. But for their captain at fullback in Gutho, that game could have actually gone down the gurgler for them. I just didn't think there was any quality about it. We'll get to the Cowboys a little bit later. But then, you know, the Dolphins here, they've got to go to Darwin off the back of having 7 or 8 key injury outs. But they're really good players. I mean, you know, it includes Hammer, Farnworth, Flegler, Gilbert, Kafusi, Lemieux, you know, and most of those are really good forwards that they're going to miss. It really tests what the quality of their depth might be. They get this young fella back at fullback, you know, Tessie New in the centres. I think I've made more tackles in the last 5 years than Tessie New has. I don't know. I think.
Oh, hang on, Matrix. That's arguable.
I think there's that potentially points in this game because of the humidity and, you know, the conditions up there. But I do not trust Parramatta. Their record when they're away and favourite is horrible. Only covered the line 4 of their last 14 occasions. Parramatta the win, not a game that's high on my viewing list.
Okay, so get straight to the bedroom and get the socks out and
that's it.
Start arranging. I'm with you on that one. I'm not sure I'll be watching. Oh, yeah, maybe I will be watching it because hopefully I'll be sitting back having a beer after the Dragons win. Saturday, 3 p.m., Panthers take on the Tigers. Let's remind all Panthers supporters and Tigers supporters, this game last year was probably one of the biggest upsets. Panthers paying $1.18. Tigers are out. They have been out as far as $5. Not sure that's enough really to get into this one. And they're getting
enough. This game's out of Bathurst too. So Carrington Oval out of Bathurst, which is where the Tigers, as you suggest, caused that bigger upset last year. But let's remember, it was in atrocious, wet, pouring rain conditions, which narrowed it right down. Yep. Gave the Tigers a chance. On paper, the Tigers have actually won 3 of the last 7 times they've played the Panthers, but it was either in the rain or in the middle of Origin. They do get a couple of kids back, Galvin in particular. Not sure about their bench depth, but I think the thing to look at here with the Panthers is they come off a loss last start when they're at Brookvale, and a significant loss, 32-18. There's not many occasions we would say that about the Panthers, and considering that the week prior they were very strong against the Roosters. I think they've had a bye. They'll be smarting about what happened. I think they'll be very well prepared into this, and I think they'll go whack and give the Tigers a bit of a work over. The market's, 14.5? I don't think that's enough. I think the Tigers get beat by 18 or more.
Yeah, interesting watching NRL 360. A lot of clauses in Stefano. The big front row for the Tigers that everyone's got wraps on and can play, he could become a target of potentially the Panthers in his contract. I mean, it's a bit of a weird one, Jared. If he plays 2 State of Origin games or the Tigers make the top 8, he remains at the Tigers. If he doesn't, he's free to negotiate at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bit of misinformation about that, Steve. I'm being told this afternoon.
You don't think that's correct?
Well, apparently it was, but I'm being told this afternoon that over the holiday, the Christmas period, that he may well have put a line through that clause. So I'm not sure what the truth is. Listen, he's, I think, one of the form front rowers in the competition at the moment and looks an enormous talent. He's only young. Earmarked by a very good judge a number of years ago and pulled him out of the Parramatta system, got him to the Tigers. As one of the form players, if there are any clauses in his contract like that, there's going to be clubs climbing all over him. And he's going to be, whether he stays at the Tigers or he might look at leaving, he's going to be a very wealthy man because, you know, a good front rower now is circa $1 million to maybe 1.1 million a season. They're hard to find, as we touched on before.
He's not worth that money, but he might get it. Saturday afternoon, 5:30, Titans versus Eagles. Now, for those that haven't, go back and watch Ricky's press conference after the Titans got beaten by the Raiders in Golden Point. And then watch Graeme Annesley's rundown on the refereeing of that game on Monday. Oh, my God. Jesus, doesn't that guy carry on with some gobbledygook?
I tell you what disappointed me about
that.
I heard Annesley interviewed on Jimmy Smith's show yesterday, and I thought he made a lot of very good points about why he does those, those presentations on the Monday and alike. But what I didn't like was he literally threw Casey Badger under the bus about making the wrong decision and not blowing a penalty. I mean, every referee, you could have.
What? Hang on. Is this on the field goal when they died? No, well, he in his Monday press conference, he actually said it wouldn't be a penalty. It would be a
playable or a six again.
Yeah.
But it was also questionable about whether there was an offside.
Yeah.
I think that she has the right to either blow a six again or blow a penalty. She's got either option. But, any referee, forget it was Casey Badger, any referee in that situation, when you're refereeing teams in Golden Point, the last thing you want to do is try and make a key judgmental call when for all of that Golden Point period, you could have been blowing the whistle every 15 seconds against either team. Anyway, I thought she deserved a little bit more support. And, and in the same press conference, he went on to say about how, they're rotating referees and they're trying to get more experience across the whole panel. Well, poor old Casey didn't even get a rotation. She got one game and then got flicked.
Straight back to reserve grade or New South Wales Cup.
Well, I think she's doing the video this week.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. We really need some consistency in the video. Let's just keep changing. Okay. Seagulls really hot favourites here. Titans home game. How do you see this one playing out?
This is the.
I might differ on this one to you.
This
I
is
think.
The litigation cup.
Oh yeah, Desi's still he can't even get out of mediation.
I think they're going to have a couple of envelopes in the top of the cup, and depending on whether the Titans win or lose, depends on
What, he might pull out 200, he might pull out half a million, he might pull out 600.
Depends which envelope you pull out.
Desi.
Listen, it's a really rare year if we get 7 weeks into the season and a team hasn't won. I don't know that the Titans are good enough to win here, but I do think that they'll give a better account of themselves. And, last week they were but a whisker away from a late win against the Raiders. The week before they scored 20-odd points late. In the last 20, 25 minutes against the Cowboys. So their attack is getting somewhat better. I think with Brimson back to six, that makes a significant difference.
Totally agree. I think if Kieran Foran can stay on two legs, that's his combination for the year. Now, new coach, it's taken him 6 weeks. He's given, he gave Tanner Boyd plenty of opportunity, but I think that is the mix that you want.
The problem is they've got one key out in Jaden Campbell, who they'll miss. But I'm glad that they went with Sammy at fullback and not young Keno Kenny. I'm not sure that he's ready for first grade yet. The Eagles, though, they've got three, possibly four, possibly five outs. Just depends on what Seibold's doing with the team that he names here. Whether Brown is ready to play, whether Garrick's ready to play, they've been named. And I see that he's brought Matthew Lodge straight in without any game fitness, supposedly, because he's you know, training so well. He's a big body, though. You would have thought he needs a little bit of match fitness. Their record against the Titans, and certainly when they're away favourites, is not flash. Well, even away, let alone away favourites. I think Manly win, but gee, I think the Titans give this a little bit of a shake. And I thought 8.5 was a little bit too generous at the line.
I tell you, I thought the Titans were very unlucky. I thought they were actually, there was a really big pickup in their form against the Raiders. I thought they were very good.
I think
the Titans are going to win this.
Be a nice upset. And listen, this, you know, one of my criticisms of Seibold as a coach, and we've already seen it with the Eagles this year, is inconsistent highs and lows. You know, we go back three games ago, they got beat by the Dragons, who have been dusted up by good teams by big margins, yet then lifted the following week to beat the Panthers, and then were by far the better team in the first half, if not for most of the game last week in Auckland. So whether they've been up for two big highs, they come back, they've got to travel again, back-to-back away, you know, a little bit of complacency, interesting watch.
Yeah, I think the other thing with the Seagulls, Jared, is probably them and the Panthers probably hold the best home ground advantage. Like, they're just different.
Yeah, that's right.
Home.
Yeah, Seagulls, I agree. And I think the other one is probably the Storm.
Way different.
Interesting thing too, Steve, the last eight times that Des Hasler has coached against Manly, he's won seven. He certainly loves coaching against his old club.
Okay. Oh, I love his press conferences. Last Sunday night was one of his best. Saturday, 7:30, so the late game or the evening game. Broncos at home at Suncorp. They're going to take on a pretty plucky Raiders. Raiders running third on the table at the moment. Broncos obviously short favourites. But this Raiders side, they're definitely getting a bit of consistency. That big, bulky pack are doing the job in the middle. And, you know, one that got away from the Titans, Jamal Fogarty's having, you know, a cracking year. Jeez, I mean, he's always been a really handy player, but tell you the one area of his game that's improved ridiculously this year, Jared, is his kicking game.
Yeah, his kicking game is outstanding. And I remember watching him in Q Cup before he started to play a bit of consistent first grade for the Titans. And I marvelled at how well he ran the game. He really understands the game well. He's an outstanding seven, very, very good organiser at pointing people around the park, and he's just got better by the years. Horrible, horrible miss by the Titans ever letting him go. Can you imagine if he'd been there the last 3 or 4 years, the stability that they would have had around that? The other key thing, though, is that back five they've got. It's got a lot of speed and a lot of attack. I think this game's a shootout of points, and I think we're going to see a lot of attack and a lot of points from both teams. And the Broncos, when they're at home, their record's outstanding, but their record is outstanding at turning on points and also dragging opponents into a game where, if you know, it's almost like, if you want to come with us, well, how good are you? You know, are you good enough to, you know, put two or three tries on quickly? The worry about the Raiders is they're just so up and down at the moment. You know, 2 weeks ago, they absolutely gave it to Parramatta, especially through that second half, put 40 points up. The week before, though, they folded against the Sharks. Last week, they squeaked home with that golden point win. It could have been a loss, but then their record against the Broncos is good. They won in a major upset in this game in Brisbane last year when they were pronounced outsiders. With the Broncos, I just like what they're doing at the moment, even with their key outs. You know, last week, 28-14 over the Dolphins, it could have been anything. I mean, they probably blew two or three tries. Great to see Walsh back. He's just a superstar. Broncos will win. I think they probably covered the line, which is about 7.5. But I do think it looks like a game with a stack of points.
Okay, Sunday. So this is another one that you're going to have to get right to win the jackpot. Bulldogs, who are running 15th, but they're definitely on the improve, and they're taking on the Knights. The Knights have to run down the highway. It's a home game for the Bulldogs. The bookies can't really split this one. We've seen some big improvements in the Bulldogs in the last 2 to 3 weeks. This is their seventh week. And I mean, how are these sides matching up, Drew? We got ins and outs. We don't.
Well, I think one of the reasons Yeah, I think one of the reasons that the markets have found this a little tricky to split is Frizzell's out. My mile is Gagai will be a late out. Ponga will probably play but be needled up, but that's still to be confirmed. So that's why I think the markets are keeping it a little closer, because if, you know, Ponga ends up out and Gagai comes out, you know, that's going to move the market in the Bulldogs' favour, which at the moment they're about a 1.5 point favourite. They get a couple of key blokes back. In particular, they get Curtis Moran, who I thought was going very well in their back row. Max King has been named on their extended bench. Blake Taff is back, and he'll probably play off the bench. I thought they were super last week. Absolutely outstanding. That's the best I've seen the Bulldogs play for probably, you know, 3-4 years. And really well coached, really well drilled, but their attitude and their effort's outstanding. The problem they got at the moment, which we've been touching on since week one, is scoring points. They scored 14, which is not enough to beat Melbourne in Melbourne. Now, Melbourne got them late, but they still got them. And 14 is just not going to be enough to put yourself in a position to win. We know that they got a little bit more points in them from what they did to the Roosters the week before, and they came after the Rabbits late and towed up the Titans. I'm just not sure about the Knights. I don't like their form at the moment. I thought that game was there to be won last week, yet the Roosters were strong late. Wet game the week before, poor against the Warriors, you know, scraped home over the Storm, who had a lot of outs and made 13 errors, and then they're on the road. I mean, if Kalen doesn't shine, there's nobody else going with him. And they're horrible through the middle at the moment. The Roosters, you could have driven a truck down through the middle last week and not hit anybody. I'm with the Bulldogs. I think their form line's really strong. I like what they're doing. I think they can win.
Yeah, and if we have a look at the Blues watch here, there's a few that are actually in good form. Steve Crichton, Josh Adokar. I mean, Adokar was outstanding last week. Don't know if Matt Burton's in fantastic form, but he's been at Origin level before. Bradman Best, he played well in Origin last year. Do you reckon he's on the radar?
I think he's on the radar. I thought he was good last week. Scored a nice try. I think
Saifidi.
Yeah, two Saifidi brothers are always. I don't know.
I understand which is the Brayley that Madge likes. Is it the one that's at the Sharks, or is it Jaden at the Knights? I heard him talking the other day. He rates one of the Brayleys really high.
Yeah, I think
one
of the hookers. I think it's Jaden. He's struggling to get back to form at the present moment. But you know, he's surrounded by them. You know, other than Jacob Saifidi, I think the rest of their forwards predominantly have been very poor. I mean, Kai Pierce-Paul is a find. I'm just not convinced he's 100% fit. You know, he made that lovely
big
break down that left edge a couple of weeks ago, and he's a big boy, but I'm just not sure that he's completely fit.
Okay, second game, 4:05 on Sunday afternoon. This rounds out the round, and it also rounds out our jackpot. So you need to get this one right. The Sharks at home take on the Cowboys. Two sides that have been, the Cowboys have been a bit up and down with their form. The Sharks were way better, have been way better in the last week or two. If we just have a quick look at Blues Watch here, Jared, obviously, you know, Hines, Nico is going to be in conversations. No one else really in the back lines. Maybe, you know, if they had a lot of injuries, Scotty Drinkwater. And then in the forwards, no one really. Reece Robson. But I don't know. There's probably a few ahead of him at the moment.
I think so. I mean, the other key question we can talk about maybe early next week, Steve, is if Mitchell Moses is not the six for New South Wales, who then gets the gig? You know, does he go with Nico Hines? I think Nico's got some defensive frailties, and I'm just not sure if that's what Madge wants. Or does he go back to Luai? I don't think Cody Walker's in the picture anymore. So, you know, interesting. You know, I think Nico Hines has been good over recent weeks, but I don't think he's been the five-star player that we saw 2 years ago in his breakout season. The key here is the Cowboys are travelling again. I touched on it last week. It's now, you know, 21 of the last 27 times they've come to Sydney, they've lost. So it's only 6 wins out of 27. Lost last week at Parramatta. Go home, come back to Sydney again. Go to Shark Park where their record is really poor. Cronulla, their record at home has been good. They've also been covering the line. I thought the Sharks winning was actually one of the better picks of the weekend. So that might give a few of us a little bit of a leg up.
Okay. So you think you're going to get the jackpot?
I won't be trying for it this week if it means getting Woody's kids.
Far out. I don't think any of us will. I think everyone will be bailing. Righto, so run us through your tips. Let's have the summary.
Yeah, listen, I don't know that it's straightforward this weekend. Let's see who's at the top of the table and what they come up with. I think if you got six...
Why is that? Why do you think
Well,
that?
I think the first one's really tricky. I think the Roosters Storm is tricky. I'm with the Roosters. I'm not sure that the Warriors are over the line down at Wollongong. Eels Dolphins, take your pick. I mean, the Dolphins would not surprise, even though they're down on troops. Do think the Panthers win easy. You know, that Titans-Eagles game, I think the Eagles win, but I'm not sure that's straightforward. I think the Broncos win. Bulldogs-Knights, well, there's only 1 point between them. I'm with the Bulldogs, but the Knights could win. And I think the Sharks win the final one. So if I was looking for a best bet, I think that there's points in that that Broncos-Raiders game, and I think there's probably points in that last game, the Sharks-Cowboys.
So were you thinking unders, overs?
No, I think both of them going over.
Right, okay. Okay, and the summary in the jackpot. All right, let's just get it straight from the top, Jared. This week's jackpot, it is back. It is Yuli's carton of beer. It is the McGrath's golf pack, which is the little esky and stubby coolers and golf balls and all the rest of it. It's a $50 voucher to Lennox Pizza Pasta, one of our great original sponsors. It's a $100 voucher to Club Lennox, another great sponsor. So we're coming.
So what you could do is on the...
Oh, sorry. Hang on. And you get to look after Rex and Maya Wood for 6 weeks, and you can't have the luxury of call a friend or call Woody and Renee. You just have to take them for 6 weeks.
So what you could do is you just walk down to Club Lennox with the two kids, pick up $50 worth of pizzas on the way. And you got $100 to drown your sorrows at the club while you're looking after the kids. Is that how it works?
Yeah, but that might get you through the first weekend. You're going to have another 5.5 weeks with the kids. What's the tactic for the rest of it?
I don't think the jackpot's going off.
Yeah, I don't think it'll go off because I think everybody will just, you know, they'll probably just pick one game where they'll go the opposite and just get it wrong so we can go to next week.
So what's your roll goal good thing this week? Is it the Dragons?
No, I'll talk you through what I'm thinking. Okay, so let's just go back to the draw. I'm going a multi. I'm going the Dragons with start.
Yes.
Okay, into the Titans with start. Okay, into the Bulldogs with start.
All right.
Yeah, that's my multi for the week.
Okay.
So it's Dragons, Titans, Bulldogs, but I actually think I'm going to have a look at it tomorrow. I actually think off the stick, I think the Titans
$6.
Are going to win. $6.85.
The There's your all up, ain't it?
Okay, that's my all up. But my other bet is I think the Titans. I think we're starting to see a turnaround in form with this change in the halves. Everyone getting maybe a little bit more used to how Desi wants to play. I think the Titans will beat the Sea Eagles.
$3.20 for the Titans, eh?
So there you go. That's my rolled gold bet. And my other bet for the week, Jared, is don't get the jackpot right.
Yes, I think you might be right there too.
And we'll be back on Monday.
See ya.
Okay, see you, mate.
Gun smoke here. We only set fire through the microphones.